session number 26550, reel number 6.
Mr. McAvoy, reel 6. We were talking about your time on the Kenthorn, the Foley, sorry.
Yeah, go
the Foley, when you were with the 10th Escort Group. We dropped back to some more routine questions. What about Kai or Coco?
Wonderful stuff. The only drink where you dip your bread in it and have a dip butty. If it was made properly.
Now, how was it? Can you explain what it was? People don't know what the Kai is. In fact, they don't know what cocoa is now.
Yeah. Well, it's a form of chocolate. And you do not pour the water over the chocolate. What you do is you have to shave it because it's about that thick.
About 3 inches thick.
Yeah. And you shave it in. Well, on us, we were lazy, we had a grater. And then what we used to do is pour the water through the grater to take the extra bits out. And then you hawk it round the ship, usually in the middle watch. Believe me, but no drink was ever more welcome. Rum, everything else took second place to that stuff. And I couldn't drink it now, my life depended on it.
Why not? Just too sickly, or?
No, I don't think it was too sickly. It was just... it was a drink for the time. You know, it's like some people don't drink all the year round, but they'll have a whiskey at Christmas or a sherry or whatever. And I think that's part of... It was part of being a Matlow. They fed me, watered me. Sheltered at me often, but...
Now, what about doing your laundry? How did you wash your clothes? I mean, most of them did it in a bucket.
In a bucket.
Tell us about it.
Oh, it was easy. First thing you done, you acquired a bucket, and you made sure your name was on it, and you hid it. And it was easy. Once you got into a set routine where you'd done it daily or whenever as possible. But once you know, you always got the fella who had a kit bag full of dirty washing. And the first thing you teach you in the Navy is cleanliness. So you know the first thing they issue you with when you go in the Navy? Doesn't matter how clean you are. They issue you with a bar of yellow soap and a towel and say, go and get a shower. That's true now. So they teach you cleanliness next to godliness. And they take you to church every Sunday, even at sea.
So it wasn't difficult washing your clothes then?
Well, it was and it wasn't. It was just awkward.
Why?
you were on limited. We just take, for instance, during the daytime. But say you had the morning watch, right? So you were on from 8 o'clock till 12, right? So you've got your jobs to do around the ship. So you fall in doing it, but you've still got your washing to do. Now you've only got one dog to go. So 4 o'clock when you fall you out, you've got 2 hours. And you have to fit them all in. Mind you, there were other days when you got away with murder. You know, when you'd say...
Yeah, stick to washing.
Yeah, it's say go on the on such a good one. So you'd nip down and get your bucket, put the hot water in. But you've got to remember, most of the washing in the sea was done in salt water. That was because there was too much salt water and not enough fresh water.
So how would you dry them?
Any way you could. Myself, I used to have a thing. We had a Beaufort gun platform, which never had a Beaufort on, by the way. And I used to rig a line round it and across it. Put them on there. Close it up. Nobody ever bothered. Go back the next day and it'd be dry across there. There was a fan system underneath it, you know, which helped. You could also do them down the after tiller flat in the passageways. Even on your mess deck, some fellas, but it didn't work out properly, especially if you had white fronts and your old fellas sitting underneath them smoking. So you had brown fronts.
Now, what was the washing facilities for you like? I mean, was it showers or baths?
At sea, they would say, fresh water will be on at such a time. Probably for about half an hour or 40 minutes. So what you've done, you're all the washing, all your dixies, fill them, you know, to do wash the dishes and things like that after a meal. And if you had if you were quick enough, you got a shower. But you might just turn it up when you're halfway through, so. Yeah.
What were the showers like? Were they good? I mean.
Oh, yeah. The whole ship was brilliant inside as far as comfort went.
And what about the heads?
Open plan. You know, you sat in a cubicle with no door on and things like that.
Did it bother you? Or
no. It was something that you you were at it that long, it just became part of your day, you know.
Now, what would you do for recreations on the mess deck? I mean, I know you smoked, but, you know, how would you and the lads
have you
spend
never heard of hookers?
Ludo. Tell us about hookers.
Oh, they used to have championships and swearing and championships. You know what it was known as, don't you, in the service? Hookers, you fuckers, come on and play. I've seen 20, 30, 40 fellas standing round, all on tiptoe, watching two play off the championship. Another thing they played was...
Did you play hookers?
A little. No, I wasn't very good at it. I just didn't have the patience.
Was it a game of skill? I mean, it just seems... I mean, Ludo...
No, Ludo, as you play it, it's virtually... Did I have a book with the rules in somewhere? I don't know. It's a glorified way of playing. Like, where you wouldn't do it on yours, when you're playing Ludo, if your counter landed on top of another counter, that fellow's counter was taken off. So that's he had to start that again, you know, with the six, the whole bit. And it did get cutthroat.
Now, what about, you mentioned other games. What other games were
we had a dartboard, which goes without saying. I think that was borrowed from somewhere.
On the mess deck?
On the mess deck. We had to be on the door, but he couldn't see it. And we also played crib, which is a sailor's game, believe me.
What do you mean?
Well, if you can't count, you can't play crib, but it's that simple. Everything counts up to 15. Flushes, you name it. It works. And you peg the board. And they always used to say, a good timber lifter is better than a good card player. In other words, he lifted the timber one hole too far every time. Yeah. But time passed. You know, you had such... With being on a watch system, you didn't have that much time to yourself, so anything like this made the time go faster, really.
Was there any of the illegal games, crown and anchor, that kind of thing? Or
no, that was mainly in the barracks there. I do know it was played. In fact, I think somewhere upstairs I've still got a set of crown and anchor dice. The only time I seen that played was in a camp outside Pompey Barracks. In a place called Stockheath, and it was mostly New Zealanders that were playing it.
So it wasn't a game on your ship. What else would you do? I mean, was there any reading or anything? You know.
Oh yeah, but again, you were limited. We used to have a library with about 20 books on, for about 120. I'm not sure how many of these ships come in. And we also used to have a skipper who liked music. Have you ever heard The Whistler and His Dog? It haunted my bloody dreams for years. He used to go into Londonderry playing the wearing of the green. You know, the hanging men and women for the wearing of the green. And going out, he always played the whistler and his dog. And whenever he got the opportunity, he played the whistler and his dog.
Now, played where? Played over the tannoy?
Over the tannoy, yeah. And we had a limited collection of records that people had either donated or given to the ship, you know. And it depended on who the signalman was. If he didn't like a record, he never played it. But then again, he'd like a certain record, and you'd get that over and over and over and over again. It wasn't that monotonous, you know what I mean? It was just boring. You had to find something to do to make your mind click. Otherwise, you'd have gone stark staring mad.
And what was your main thing?
Me being lazy. But then again, I always dodged the column. I always enjoyed it. Very rare got caught.
So but you enjoyed the challenge of malingering?
Of course.
And this is what
I wasn't alone in this. There were many more, but I'm admitting it. Others won't.
We're on you're on the last 6 months of the war, in effect, these anti-submarine operations. Any incidents you remember?
There was one, I think it was the 28th of April. But we were coming up St George's Channel. And a Sunderland went after a U-boat. Now, I've only ever seen one sketchy write-up about this particular bit. But we were allowed one-tenth of a submarine because of the part we took in it.
Now, what do you remember of it, then?
Well, the Sunderland come down in the water, blew her own sail off, and we picked up the pilot with the rest of his crew were going past in a float and shouting, "Get the rum up." They knew we would, of course. Well, that fella died at night. We could actually see Milford Haven from where we were in the St. George's Channel, thinking we'll pull him ashore and get a nice ashore. Not yet. He sent us right round the coast to Derry. And he died during the night. I can even remember his name. His name was Chapman. And he came from Leeds, and that's all I know about him.
And what happened to the rest of the Sunderland crew?
Good question, I never found out. But they came from Milford Haven. We do know.
And they sank this submarine. They were depth charging it.
We don't really know whether they did or not. But we were part of the depth charging as well. And at the time, I believe we were credited with one-tenth of a submarine. Exactly what that entitled you to, I don't know. Perhaps 3 sweet coupons or something.
Now, anything else you remember? This is just before the end of the war. I mean, that's about 10 days before the end of the war.
But they put us out in the North Atlantic on the tail end. Just after this, it was. And the day of VE Day, the wireless went for a blink. So we've got no... Mind, you've got to remember, it was a ship of bloody rebels on the quiet. Because you had a lot of Geordies and a lot of jocks. Very few Welshmen, only a couple. And a load of Scousers. And the wireless went on the blink. And as we're tying up in Derry, one fellow from another ship shouted across, "You know, the war's over." And that was the best we knew. 2 days after. That night I was unfortunate to be on the gangway as quartermaster on the gangway. So I didn't go ashore, thankfully. And I went off watching at midnight. And I had 22 tots of rum. Because they spliced the main brace. Well, it was in a bottle in my locker, so I didn't care. So you know all them quart bottles they used to get? You don't see them now with a cork. And if somebody asked for the tot, I was going to give it them, but nobody did. But when they came back, they raised havoc. They raided the skipper's cabin and pinched his best uniform, stuffed it, made a dummy out of it, and hung it in the yard. He dropped that charger out the racks in the dock. So we had a diver down next morning. Somebody got over the side and painted YMCA on it. Can't understand what that was, but they were crazy. One fella was found with a load of bricks in a wheelbarrow. He was going to build himself a hut on the quarterdeck. They were daft. But they were celebrating in their own way. I don't think they were dishonest. Mind you, having said that, our mess deck used to have a rubber mat right up the middle. Old Salmetsu pole. And that was a local hostelry in...
It's a Nickham.
In Derry. We also had a big asbestos plant. One of the pigs went through with it on rounds at night. And he said, "What's that?" And this young fellow said, "Some little Geordie," he said. I said, we're trying to find out how plants grow," he said, "and we want to be horticulturists when we get out the Navy." And he just went like that.
So they used to nick things from the local pub?
Borrow, on permanent loan. At one stage, we even had a dog. It was an Irish red setter. It was a beautiful dog. And I must have gone half a dozen times to gym with us. But one of the lads used to take him ashore. You know, wherever you were, take him ashore. You know, I don't know about these laws that they had at the time. And he was in Derry one night, and a fella stopped him. And he said, "I thought it was funny, the dog was all over this fella. It was this fella's dog." And he said, "He used to let him out at night, and then he'd run round the block and come back." He said, "And this night he didn't come back." One of our lads, fetched the board, he said, "Oh, have you found it wandering?" So we said, "Put a bit of rope round his collar and fetch it back with us." It was actually on a ship's strength. What did they call it? They called the dog Paddy, but... he used to give you tabs with your name and your official number on. And he had he had two of these on his collar. Paddy. Church of Turkey. And his number was 6-0 and 1, you know.
And he just slept on the...
Wherever, and any mess deck. And like most dogs.
It wasn't just your mess deck.
All over the ship, every on the ship. We even had two cats. Well, I mean, you can't even multi about them.
Now, tell me about your duties as quartermaster, because you haven't talked about that much before.
Alongside the wall, you don't... Forearm, eat off. And you got your run ashore accordingly, you know.
Now, what was quartermaster? I mean, can you just explain? And how long were you doing that for? Were you always quartermaster for a while?
For any job in the Navy, you only done for 3 months. And then they threw you off. And, you know, another job.
So what was the duties as quartermaster?
Well, let's see. You were the fellow on the wheel. Until he went to action station, then the coxswain, who was in, saw Peter Coxswain, would take over. alongside the wall, it was monotony. Any messages coming into the ship went through you. I'm talking about hand messages, you know. And you were supposed to see they were delivered. You used to take the temperatures, the wet and the dry, record them, whatever time you took them on a 24-hour clock, and when you were at sea and you were on the wheel, the boatswain's mate used to write the log up. Whatever orders were passed to you, he wrote them in. So that there was a complete record of all the time that a quartermaster was on duty.
And what was it like to steer?
Oh, it was simple. It was power steering. And it wasn't like a navy wheel, you know, with the spokes. It was like a big wheel. And the Lover's Point was just a dimple in the ring round the metal disc. the telegraphs on air, you'd done, he said, up 20 or whatever, you know. So all you'd done was adjust it, three little knobs. when he went on an old ship, like I went on a Wolf.
Well, we'll come to yeah. I mean,
two copy grinders.
I'm all mean on the at the moment on the Foley. Any other duties as quartermaster?
Not that I can think of.
Was it easy to follow the course?
Well, he made sure you did. You also had, you had a magnetic compass in front of you and a gyro compass over your head. And he'd say, steer course so-and-so. So there was no excuse for you being off course. You didn't need that. It told you exactly what you were steering. Simple as he is. Of course, we, as I say, we were simple people. As well as dickheads, of course, we'll say.
Now, at the end of the war, what happened then? I mean, you said you went to Norway. Was that in May? Or?
That was in the May.
Now, what were you doing going to Norway?
Well, it was showing the flag up the coast, wasn't it?
Tell us about it, then.
Well, they gave me the kids' parties, being told where not to go.
Tell us about the kids' parties. I mean, tell us a bit more about it.
That guy we were talking about, those kids ate that. Raw. I don't think it done much for their stomachs the next morning. But they were great.
Now, you'd take them, what would you put on for them? Tell me a bit more about that.
Oh, swings, slides. I mean, we were using X-gun. You know, raised, put a strap on it and a swing, a seat. You know, made out of rope. And swinging the kids round. Until he got fed up and then somebody else would take over, you know.
And was it just kids coming aboard, or would it?
Well, the adults never came aboard. They always seemed to stand on the quay for some reason. Because they always remember one old Baron Potts spoke beautiful English. He said his life's ambition had been to go to Portsmouth on the Victory. I said, mine, my life's ambition is to get as far away from the bloody Victory as I can. Yeah, nice. They were nice people. But again, they are dead people, you know.
What were we actually doing? They were just showing the flag. I mean,
showing the flag. And we escorted two U-boats back. 2056 and 2055, I think.
Escorted him back to Britain?
Yeah, to a place called...
tell us about that.
Took him back to a place called Lissahalley. And I believe they were screaming to take it down, the Germans.
Take what down?
The U-boats. Because of the, you know, when you come out of Bergen, is where we fetched them from. You're on a beam sea, and they go all over the place. Because they're not meant to sail on the surface, are they? And there must have been 50, 60 alongside the wall at this alley. If you've got a second, I'll tell you a little story about that.
Yeah.
A fella called Tom Mahoney, who joined Foley with us, but he went away to do a torpedo course. And at the end of the war, he got shanghaied into mine disposal and whatever, you know. And we're sitting there at a reunion in the 60s, and they're talking, and one said, when we sank so-and-so, and Tom said, peace. I sank more U-boats than a whole lot of you put together. Tommy, it was Geordie. Tommy, you're lying? No, I'm not. And he said, and I've got a certificate to prove it. And he pulled it out of his pocket, issued by this lieutenant commander in charge of disposal of U-boats. And Tom had actually fired the charges that sank 55. You know, when he took them in the North Atlantic, he said, don't let me hear you lot boasting again. It's amazing about these bits come back to you, isn't it?
Now, what did you do after you got the U-boats back to Lissahalley? What was the next thing?
Well, I got paid off then.
When would this be? June?
Yeah, it was sometime in June. About, I'm guessing now, about the middle of June.
Now, how did you feel when you left her? You'd been with her 2 years.
Yeah, All right. And you as well get 10 days in from sea leave. So you weren't really upset.
You weren't worried about leaving your mates?
Well, you know, you never really leave them because they're with you all your life. I went into a barracks called West Lee.
Called what?
West Lee.
Now, where's that?
It's outside Havant. It's just down the road from where Stockheath was. It was a camp that was built for people who were refugees from the bombing early in the war. It was never used for that, but the Navy got it. And it had open gates. Nobody stopped you. Nobody asked you who you were. And I never volunteered the information anyway. I got a Friday while every 4 weeks. You know what a Friday while is, don't you?
No.
You go on Friday while Monday. That's what you used to call a Friday while. And I went on leave 1 week, one weekend, and when I come back, the camp's nearly empty. And 3 weeks later, this PO stopped me and said, "Who are you?" And I told him. He said, "What's here?" I said, "Told him." He said, "You shouldn't be here." I said, "No, he tells me. Pack your gear, you're going up the road to Stockheath." They'd emptied this camp. And they were cleaning. Oh, you were painting. You know what I mean? They were painting in this hole, so I went the next one. You know what I mean? And all he had was a guard there. He had 8 German prisoners of war. I don't know what they were, who they were. Something to do with radar, I believe. And I got Shangot to Stockheath.
How long were you there?
2 days. And I applied for leave and got it. And then I got a recall, went back, and he sent me on leave again. I got a draft.
And when was this, August?
No, a bit later than that, September, I think. As I say, I'd been dodging the column for a couple of 3 weeks. And I went to, where did it open there? Oh, yeah. I got a draft here to a carrier, the activity. Now, I'm never sure about this, but I went and acted soft to the doctor. Told me I had headaches, which he didn't. I didn't want to go back to sea. You know, not at that stage of the game. And I found out later, after the war, that activity was actually on their way to the Far East. Well, once somebody was boarded, it wouldn't have made any difference. But me having fiddled it, she got out there across the Atlantic and they turned her back. And she spent the next 6 months just down the road being converted back to a trooper. I can't remember now, it was, but I think it was the Dorsetshire, one of those. So that, you know, just shows you. You can only fool some
and they
people.
Believed you when you said you'd got headaches.
No, you were always open to inquiry. Sent me down to see this fella in Pompey Barracks. And then come back, but by that time, the draft had gone, you see. So I finished up with a draft to the Wolf.